بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. Before starting the translation and a slight explanation of the surah that has to be discussed, as an introduction to that surah, I will narrate a hadith or translate a hadith reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Imam Tirmidhi narrates, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. So in this narration there will be certain signs that will be mentioned, that when you will see the signs, and the last of the signs is when the people of the end of this ummah. We are normally understood as the people of the end of this ummah. Certain signs will happen before, and those have already happened, and then the people at the end of the ummah and what they will engage in. And thereafter Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, at that time you will see many things different in the world. What we will normally call natural disasters, catastrophes, that used to always be in the world. But the narration is speaking about فَرْتَقِبُ, that wait now, anticipate. Meaning it's going to be different now. What the world would call this is a natural disaster, it won't be natural anymore. It will be disasters. And he said, one after the other, it will just follow. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا اُتُّخِذَ الْفَيْءُ دُوَلًا. Fay refer to the wealth that was brought into the Muslim lands. Into the Muslim world, we will not even know about it. There was a time when Umar radiallahu anh conquered the lands of Iraq and Iran. And then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said that the normal law is distribution of the land. That 4/5 will go to the fighters, 1/5 will go to the Muslim treasury. Umar radiallahu anh said, then what will be the state of the Muslims who will come later on? That where will they ever have a share in this wealth? Whereas Almighty Allah has mentioned that in this wealth, it will be for the benefit of the Muhajirin, it will be for the benefit of the Ansar, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ, and it will be for the benefit of those believers who will come after, and they will continue benefiting from the wealth of the Muslim lands. But me and you know from the time we were born, no one else ever told you a Muslim, because of which some wealth has been written by Umar radiallahu anh for you. You must get your share. There was a time when this entire system was hidden. When that fay will become dual and state money. So we might think that it was never there. There was a time that every Muslim in the lands had a share in the wealth of the Muslim treasury. But then the Khilafat fell, and then every country took his own wealth and made it his own. When the wealth of the Muslim world will be made dual and its own state treasury, وَالْأَمَانَةُ مَغْنَمًا, and when a man understands amanat, meaning trust, someone leaves some money by him as a trust, but he will not just leave it there, immediately he will start using it for his own benefits. Taking no responsibility. If there is a loss, then he will say your money got lost. And if there's a profit, he will enjoy. In the beginning parts of Islam, people would leave amanat by people. There was no banks. When amanat was left by a person, there was a fear. What if I get robbed? And the law of amanat is, if I get robbed, your money is going. So Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu an, his father, and then it was famous Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah, him and many others, they had this habit. They would say to the people that, why don't you leave your money by me as a trust? And their houses were known as protected houses. When the person would bring the money, they would say to the person, see, if you want, I must not touch it, then it will remain there as is. I will never open it. But if something happens, if the house has to go on fire, your money is gone. If someone has to steal, your money is gone. And if you allow me, I will use your money for my needs. And the day when you need your wealth, it's a debt on me. Meaning after I touch that bag of yours, there is full responsibility on me. Now even if my house burns down, I'll have to pay you back. Naturally the man would say, that's much better. And they would say, use it. That was once upon a time. Everyone's money would go back to the person. Before dying, the man would say, I owe so and so so much, so and so. Millions it would go into. He would say to his child, my land will be sold, my shop will be sold, this will be sold. You pay off everyone. And there'll still be more than enough left for everyone. But the time was going to become where amanat was going to become ghanimat. Ghanimat means maal ghanimat, the wealth of war. That when someone would leave it by me, it was not going to go back to that person. He would trust the person so much. The person invest with me, leave by me, trust me. And normally he'll always say, you don't trust me. You think I'm going to run away with your money? He's already gone with the money. He said, when the day when in my ummah, amanat will lose its value. وَالزَّكَاةُ مَغْرَمًا And this surah will speak about this. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ When people will become so stingy, forget zakat. Even to give small, small things will be very hard on them. Meaning their attachment to the things around them will be so strong. And when does attachment become strong? When it becomes very smart. If someone says to you, can I use your phone? So in the past we all had that old phones in the house. You dial 100 times. Then it changed a little, but then it was only buttons pressing and everyone was so happy. And then there was the cordless phone and everyone was so thrilled. Then we had the Nokia hard phones like a rock. You threw it on someone's head, you could break it. And every time the man changed, he really thought, this is like smart. And when someone said, can I use your phone? He said, no way, like. And then as it went, and today the phone now is the man's own life. And now if someone says, hey, can I use your phone? Immediately you pull back. That if I have to put my phone, in it is my bank, in it is my profiles, in it is my pictures, in it is my everything, I'll just hold it. That man needs to make an urgent phone call. This man worries about my life is here. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ Almighty Allah says, until the time comes that things are basic necessities. But even that the man holds back. Why? Because he's paying a lot for it. Now it's no longer if someone asks, I want salt, can you give me salt? The auntie in the house is thinking of not the salt, the container of the salt. She got her name there, she got her phone number, her email. If my container gets lost, please return it. Because she paid for that. There's a container in the house, a Tupperware. In the past they would give you a cake with the Tupperware, say keep the cake and the Tupperware. But now the name is on the Tupperware. My Tupperware must come back. You can eat the cake so much. If a small scratch comes on it, it's like the scratch on the heart. The world was going to change. Once upon a time, the thing never had that value. So people, for them to give things were very easy. There was no fridges and freezers that I could store. So after I used for myself, what to do with the rest of the meat? Give it to that man, give it to that man. Your mother's friend, send it to her. My father passed away, his friends, that one, everyone got a share. Animal is finished. No, there's still one leg left. What are you going to do with the leg? Give it away, give it away. And then the fridge was created. Freezer was created. Deep freezer was created. Many freezers were created. Now there's 7 animals. Now the only time we worried of the animal is load shedding. What will happen to my animals? وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ Things which were basic necessity when man would hold back. I can't spend. It would start when people would start taking zakat as a burden. When zakat will be taken as a burden. وَتُعُلِّمَ لِغَيْرِ الدِّينِ And when knowledge in the world will be for everything besides deen. Whether it is worldly knowledge, whether it is deeni knowledge. As soon as a man enters into the field of learning, the first thought he gets is, how much will I one day earn? Again, it was going to be because of the state of the world. There was a time when things were in villages. So in the village you had running water. Then you had the cow with the milk. Then you had the chickens with the eggs. Then you had your sheep with the meat. Now when they're sending the child to go study, he's studying for what? Because he's not going to buy more cows. He got enough cows, enough sheep. But the world was going to change. that the water was going to be diverted away. He said, you go far away from the water, we'll bring the water for you, but you must pay. We'll bring electricity for you, but you must pay. We'll bring food to you, but you must pay. Now nothing was natural anymore. Naturally, in that environment, as soon as a child is born, he hears from his mother and father, every year one sentence, things are becoming very expensive. Every year, same story. They say, you know, when we were small, with 2 rands, how much we used to buy. But you tell them when you were small, at that time, people were also saying, things are too expensive. So when the child hears that things are too expensive, the first thought goes in his mind, I have to earn. Whether he becomes a doctor, the purpose is, how much will I earn? Becoming a lawyer, how much will I earn? If he's told that, you know, the reward of becoming a doctor, that the person who can save one man's life is like a person who saved the life of humanity. Have you intended that when becoming, say, I never knew that. Say, why are you becoming a doctor? Say, they earn well. When every knowledge will just be for this world. وَتُعُلِّمَ لِغَيْرِ الدِّينِ The knowledge of dunya also, the knowledge of deen also. When a man is becoming a student, an alim, his one thought in his mind is that I need to get a good job. I can look after my family. The world was going to be like that. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when you will see it happening, meaning the world will be changing rapidly. Now everyone's focus will just be how to earn so I can live. وَأَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ And when a man will now be obedient to his wife, again here everyone will say, I don't think that's me. And the man who's going through it, he says, I've got no choice otherwise. Again, but the system was going to be made such. There was a time in the past where there was a lot of unity, And a woman forget living with her mother-in-law and sister-in-law. There was a time in the past that woman could live very close to the other 3 wives also. They would all be in that one small, like, compound. And everyone will be happy with the other one. Because each one was helping the other one. And because you're so far away from the world, each one needs the other. So the husband was going to the farms. He would come back perhaps after 3 months. Your wife was not going to at that time say to you, send me to your my mother. The mother was not going to take her. That's why they got her married. Now you stay. When the husband is going away, who's her best friend? Her mother-in-law will be. Her sister-in-law will be. They'll become so close, so obedient. That man, when he would come home, sister is looking after him, mother is looking after him, wife is waiting for him. And everything was happening. But the world was going to change. It was going to change such that now the ability to travel was going to become very easy. Now for a woman to be alone was, no, I'm not going to be alone. I'll go see my mother every weekend. Every few days I will make sure if you're not taking me, I'll drive myself. And then the system was going to make such, we will look after your rights. Whereas the only fate that ever sought to look after the rights of women was a fate that was based on the constitution of Allah. No one else ever worried about women. No one else. Islam came at a time where the devil had made people bury daughters alive. The devil had made women were inherited. When the man would pass away, his wife was an inheritance. The son, who it was not his own mother, stepmother, he would inherit her and the money. What a disgrace it would be for a woman, that who was yesterday your son now suddenly becomes your master. But who brought that system? Go into the Roman Empire at that time and understand. It took them so many years, finally in the Roman Empire, where they said, today we have passed a verdict that yes, women are also humans. That yes, woman, now who was that Roman Empire? That Roman Empire was based on the same shaitan who today the fighters for women's rights are based on. That same shaitan who established the Roman Empire and made them look at women as dirt. That very shaitan is behind what we call today the women's fight for liberation. At that time, if the devil never liked women, Today he's not going to like women at all. It is just called a change of the word. So much of effort was put in that we will free you from everything, but what it meant, we will give you so much of rights that no longer do you have to feel you have to listen to your husband. He will have to listen to you. He will know if she walks out tomorrow, I'll be left with a kitchen where I don't know how this thing operates. As for her, if she walks out, she knows that I can get a job immediately. There's many jobs available for women. There's no jobs for the men. It was going to happen in non-Muslim countries. The worst was when it was going to enter into the Muslim world. Today, when you travel in the lands of Hijaz, and that was the last protected place, and there you see the law is in every government office. If there's a man, there must be a woman with him in that department. Now that woman, obviously, if she was a wife yesterday, she's not going to be a wife tomorrow. Because she's earning more than the husband. Once that woman was going to get feeling that she could touch her own money, she would have her own card, have her own phone, have her own contract, then the question comes, then why do I need the man? And man's nature is now and then he does get grumpy. Especially in the early morning when he says, who'll make my cereal? But when she says to him, make it yourself, he says, how dare you tell me that there? And the next day he comes home, forgets cereal making, there's no one in the bedroom. She's gone. That was never going to happen in the past, because where she was going to go, at that woman, a woman will make sabr. And she said, I will make my husband's breakfast because he looks after me. But a time was going to come, no longer was the man going to look after the wife. Rather, the man was going to ask the wife, end of the month, things are short, can you help me out? Once that was going to happen, the system was going to change. And a man had to now start obeying his wife. وَأَقَّ أُمَّهُ. As for his mother, that's why they cry so much, woman's rights. But which woman? They only speak about the pretty young woman. They don't ever speak about the rights of the old woman. About the old woman, no one speaks about. When they will show in the movies and in the magazines and in everything, they'll show the pretty young woman. But that pretty young woman has to get old. They won't show her, but because if they have to show her, you will understand what happens when makeup starts having its side effects. And you will understand when old age comes and the cover is around, then that beautiful smile is no longer surviving. Then when you look at that skin and that color, then a clear picture of the world will come, but they'll never show that. When a man will start disobeying his mother, وَأَقَّ أُمَّ. The system was going to be created for it. That a mother, the houses that are built, got no place for a mother in that house. The room is made such, normally whenever you design something, you look at the design and you'll understand, like, why is this? Example, you enter this masjid, at the back of the masjid you'll see chairs. Now you'll wonder, now why chairs outside the masjid? So you'll understand, this masjid got Lord people who got Lord to talk outside the masjid. So as they're standing there, their legs pain. I say, I need to sit. So he said, that's why that chair is there. Now you come to a house and you'll see one room. And you will see a toilet. So you'll say, this house was made because the man said, a day will come when my parents will be old. They will need to stay there. So I made a certain place, small kitchen for my mother, she mustn't interfere with my wife. And a nice bathroom. I made that there already. But when you enter that house and you see three bedrooms, or when you enter and you see no place for someone old, and you will see all the bedrooms upstairs, then you will say, in this house the man never ever thought, one day my parents might need to stay with me, where are they going to climb upstairs? So you made nothing downstairs. That preparation is not in the minds of people because the system was made such that continue making dua that your mother and father never become dependent. And that's a very good dua. But why? Because if they become dependent, I'll have to look after them. My life is so tight at the moment, where I'll manage to look after them? They must just carry on their own. And Allah keep all our parents fit and they can do their own thing. The world is such now, when they get together, Forget the old mother and the young daughter-in-law. They can't see eye to eye. We are living in a time where the old uncle and his old wife can't see eye to eye. As long as the uncle is busy in the business, he only comes home just before Maghrib, you say, very good for you. COVID time came. That's when the uncle had to sit in the kitchen all day. How many marriages almost broke? Because he doesn't know how to stay out of his wife's business. He's supposed to go somewhere else and look after the garden. Now he wanted to tell her how to make chicken. And then they start arguing. Then they start fighting. When the two of them can't live, what a world we're living in. It's called the fast world. We're living in it. Allah save us all. But it was told, you will see this. At that time when a man becomes disobedient to his mother. The question is now, living in the time, how do you balance the two? Because if you have to obey your mother, normally the mothers of today, they got one sentence, divorce your wife. They like that sentence. A person said to his son, divorce your wife. The son looked at him like, why? He said, did you not read the hadith? Umar radiallahu anh said to his son, Abdullah bin Umar, divorce your wife. And Abdullah bin Umar looked at his father and said, why? Umar radiallahu anh was very hurt. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu and he said, when your father told you separate, I think you rather separate. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu went to his wife and he said, my father is not happy with you, I'm letting you go nicely. So this father now, this mother said, divorce your wife. The father, the boy looked up, said, why? He said, didn't you hear Abdullah bin Umar? So the poor boy was confused. Now he goes to an alim. This is called an alim who's solid. He says to the alim, my mother, my father, when we need to know a hadith, we know lot. How they know that narration? They forgot all the other narrations. He said, my mother, my father. They told me, divorce my wife. They said, look at the hadith. Even Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, divorce her. Your father, your mother don't like her. Let her go. So the alim gave a very nice answer. He says, the day your father becomes Umar, and you are Abdullah bin Umar, then come back to me. Until that, they just keep the wife. Meaning when that man walked, the devil walked on the sides. In his statement, there was nothing of nafs and evil. He was a man who Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if there have to be a Nabi after me, it will be Umar. He says, the day your father becomes so like that, and you become Abdullah bin Umar, then come back and I'll tell you. Until then, just keep your wife. When the mother will say, let her go, all you have to say, you can't do that. How do you balance it in such a time when things are far? So it's not easy. Now we're not going to go in the details of that. But it is, you have to not be obedient to your mother in such situations, and you also have to be not disobedient. How do you balance that? Again, it is called, is it going to be easy? That's what we call, at the end of time, things are not going to be easy. At the end of times, things are not going to be easy. To balance this, it is called walking a road which is full of potholes. But you still have to make the journey. And if there's not a pothole that's going to grab you at the bottom, then someone is throwing a rock from the top. Then you're looking on the side, a tire is going. Even if someone is saying, help, help, I need help, you know that man there might be trying to hijack you himself. So much of fear, but when you ask the person, I think you stop driving, he said, what are you going to do? I still have to drive. In this time, man still has to continue. He has to get married. He has to listen to his wife. He has to make her happy. He has to make his mother happy. If someone says, but then it's very hard, we'll say that is what is called an imtihan in this world. And if we can pass, we will have no further imtihans after. This world is not Jannah this year. This is the exam, and it is a very hard exam. It becomes easy for the one who Allah wants to make it easy. We don't run away from the exam. We don't become angry with the examiner. We just continue making dua, Allah allow me to pass my exam. Allah allow me to pass my exam. When a person will now be disobedient to his mother, وَأَدْنَا صَدِيقَهُ, and he will bring his friend closer and closer. What a word. Friends are always close. It's called a friend. صِدْقٌ. صِدْقٌ means you're true. A friend was always someone around you. You couldn't have a far friend. What a word. When a man will bring his friend closer. How close can you bring your friend? Can you take your friend into your bedroom late at night? In the privacy where it's only you and your wife. Wa adna sadiqa. What a word. Indeed, there was an indication, yes, friends will come closer and closer and closer until they'll be right in your pockets also. And that's the world we're living in now. Late at night when the wife is in the bedroom and it's the husband, and you would have thought now when the door closes after Maghrib or after Isha, and the world is dark outside, now the husband only got time for the wife. Wife only got time for the husband. But instead of saying wife, he says Wi-Fi. And as soon as the Wi-Fi goes on, he goes into one side, she goes into one side, she is busy with her friends. Hundreds and hundreds. How close wa adna sadiqa? When the friend will become closer and closer. At the moment it's only with the message, the friend. Very soon the world is going to see where a gadget can come on the head. And with that gadget, your friend can be right in front of you. Now not talking, adna sadiqa, what a word. And when the friend will come closer and closer and closer. Wa aqsa abahu. As for the father will be pushed further and further and further. Wa dhaharatil aswatu fil masajid. And when sounds, sautun refers to voice. Normally it would only be our voice, meaning my voice, your voice. What a word again. When sounds will become loud in the masjid. When sounds will become apparent in the masjid. Zaharatil aswat. Sounds. One is we would have thought the sounds of people, everyone will be talking. Loudly they're talking in the masjid. What a word again. Aswat, sounds. Meaning other sounds will also come in the masjid. You would have wondered at that, who sounds? Dog is going to come in the masjid. Cat is going to come in the masjid. Sounds. Suddenly all the gadgets came in the masjid. And with those gadgets, how many different sounds started coming? The announcement has to be made. Please put off your gadgets. This is the masjid of Allah. Not this is the time for tring, tring, trung, trung. Funny sounds. On there we just learn a masala. If ever your phone goes on in the masjid, one is a ringtone should never be on the phone. If ever even a normal tone goes, it is allowed with one hand. If you are in the standing position, use the right hand, so the least movement. Any other position, use your left hand, immediately put off that sound. Music in the masjid is a no-no. Music outside the masjid is no way. But even sounds in the masjid is a place for when it is the time for ibadah, everything must be quiet. The angels enjoy at that time worshipping Almighty Allah in the masjid. They become irritated. Jinn become irritated. The creation of Allah becomes irritated. When sounds will become apparent in the masjid, وَسَادَ الْقَبِيلَةَ فَاسِقُهُمْ. The leaders of every tribe and nation will be the most rebellious of. Fasiq. Fasiq means the one who has gone out of the bounds. In the Muslim land, who will be made the leader? They say the bigger the crook, the bigger the chance he got. So the next time somebody else stands up, he's the next in line. They say, you think he's going to be one better? He say he already got 10 cases on him also. If he's a chore, a thief, he's a bigger thief. And then you say, I think he's going to be the next president. Because the narration was going to say, you will only manage to become leaders. Once upon a time, they chose leaders how? It was according to what the people decided. They loved a certain person for his bravery, for his work amongst the people, for his character. They got together, they needed a leader. They said, we'll give our lives for this person. They would join him, they would fight, he would become the strongest, he would be the leader. His standing on that position was something called earned. Then the world was going to change. Leaders were now going to be installed leaders. Who would install them? The one who would be controlling the matters from behind. They would be having the media with them. They would be having weapons with them. They could create what is called this rebel against this one. There will be a coup. We will remove this one. We'll bring you in place. But remember, as we removed him, we can remove you also. You play our game. But he would only play the game when they had so much of ammunition already against him, that to blackmail a leader was so easy. That leader will now become, when the fasiq will become the leaders of the qawm, he would just be a puppet. He would be scared to even say the truth, because my files are worse than your files. وَسَادَ الْقَبِيلَةَ فَاسِقُهُمْ وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْذَلَهُمْ. And the leader of the nation will be the most evil, most despised, most rude, most low. The actions that he has done is the most faulty. That's how he was made the leader. Otherwise, they'll never allow him in that position. وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ. When man will be honored just because we are scared of his evil. Says, if you don't trust him, if you don't give him that honor, if you don't give him that show, it's going to be hard for you. You won't get your position here. وَظَهَرَتِ الْقَيْنَاتُ وَالْمَعَازِفِ. And when musical instruments and musicians, when they will be everywhere. ظَهَرَ. The zuhur of today, that word zuhur means when something becomes open. You would have thought open in the past. How open can it get? They're having the concert. You'll have to go to the concert with. You will have to pay for it. And you say, okay, maybe that auntie, that uncle are not going to sing in the concert. Maybe they're going to come outside. And then people will see them, but you still have to pay. But zuhur means when something becomes open. When the internet opened it up. And now that man never needed to go anymore. It was everywhere. Anywhere. He could be listening to it wherever he was. That was called zuhur. It opened up so much. وَشُرِبَتِ الْخَمْرُ. And the worst is when intoxicants will be drunk. Al-khamru normally means liquor. But in the Arabic language, that word khamr, which Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a unique description. He said, everything that will cover the mind, that will lead to a level of intoxication, is what we are calling khamr. Meaning not only now made from what is called the grape. Every intoxicant is khamrun. Khamrun means khimar. Something that will cover the mind. What was going to become most apparent in the world? Liquor made from grapes was going to go one side. And every other drink not made from grapes was going to spread in the world. You will go in Muslim lands today and the man says, me, liquor I'll never touch. But you ask him, what's in your hand? He says, beer. It's not liquor this year, beer this year. And when intoxicants were going to go to the level of drugs, and it was going to go to the levels of injections, it was going to go to the levels of tablets, and everything was just going to cloud the mind, when that would become the order of the day. Everyone is an addict. Everyone is drunk. Everyone is out of his mind. وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا. And it will be the end of this ummah. They'll be right at the ending, but they'll be involved in what? They'll be involved in the discussion of what happened in the beginning of Islam. When normally you will say, you're right at the ending, you got time to worry about that. And what their job will be? Their job will be to criticize the beginning of this ummah. Not criticize them, to curse them also. You would have wondered, who will ever come? Think about me and you. What news do we have about our great-grandfather? We know nothing about him. Because we know nothing about him, we're not bothered about him also. He could have been a top man, he could have been a robber also. He could have killed my grandmother also. But I don't know nothing about him, so I'm not bothered. And someone says, you know, your great-grandfather was a murderer. Say, my friend, I know nothing about him. I was never there, it got nothing to do with me. Normally no one bothers about going upwards. He says, but when the end of this ummah will come, they will make it part of their mission to take out the faults of the first part of this ummah, my sahaba. Not only will they criticize them, they will curse them also. And that also happened in the world. With the Iranian revolution, a fitna came up in the world with the curse of sahaba radiallahu anhum on a big scale. On a huge scale was going to spread in the entire world. Now with the internet and that words that you will just type a sahabi's name And you will find perhaps few lines where they respect the Sahabi. And a lot of lines, because Google's job is to gather the good, the bad and the ugly. And whatever is more, it will put it on front. So suddenly you're reading a Sahabi, but when you're reading about him, you say, I always thought he was good. Wala'ana, when the end of this ummah will curse, when say, Allah's curse be on you, I never knew you were so evil. He says, when the end of this ummah will curse the beginning. فَارْتَقِبُوا عِنْدَ ذَٰلِكَ He said, at that time you have to now be waiting. Be on your edge. Natural disasters were from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. We are entering an era now where sometimes when the disaster takes place, a lot of questions has to be asked. Is it a natural disaster or is it a created disaster? Many of these that are happening today, the events that happen just before and after always put a certain question mark. Pakistan saw floods, but it was floods that that land had never seen, so they could never be ready for it. Normally non-Muslim countries never ever jump to say, we're coming to help you. How they came to help? They came with so much of money that today Pakistan is begging what is known as that company that will give the loan, say, please help me. And that company says, we want to help you, but certain conditions. When normally when a man is dying, you don't make conditions, I'll pull you out, but you got some conditions, sign first. That man who comes like that, it's like as though I waited for this year to happen, or I was the one also behind it happening. He said, at that time, be ready for rihan hamra. When you will see winds which will be red in color, or when you will see skies that will give out a reddish look. The details of this we're not going to go in, but that cyclones and hurricanes which always come with that sky changing its color, that was known that they would see. But now when you are said wait for something, it could be sometimes storms that are created, disasters that are created, wars that bring about that colors in the sky, weapons that create a different environment. Rihan hamra, when you will see those red winds. Wazalzalatan, and you will see earthquakes. Wakhasafan, you will see people being pulled into the earth. Again, I'm saying all this used to happen. Natural disasters were always, when Allah's Nabi said, at the end of time, wait. You know, said, we're already seeing it today, why wait for that time? Which meant that it might be a little different from the ones you are used to. A little different. Now you will be seeing, وَمَسْخًا مَسَخ, once upon a time meant a man's face. It hardly happened in humanity. Nabi Sallallahu spoke of a few nations where as a punishment Almighty Allah made the face of man change. It disfigured so badly it became like an animal's face. Maskhan. Said, now wait for it. When Iraq war took place, what was known as the Gulf War, at that time whoever visited those lands after would have understood. When a child is born but is not looking like a normal child, when the face has turned completely, when the eye is not coming, hand is not coming out, when the eye is not giving it. At that time someone will say, this child is born with such a feature, this is called masakh. He said, wait for a time when masakh will be normal. Allah save us all. Created changes, either because of injections, because of medication, because of dirt that is thrown in the world, because of what is called weapons of mass destruction, because of one war and the side effects of the war that will hit generation after generation. He said, وَمَسْخًا وَقَذَفًا. And when you will see things shooting, normally translation was قَذَف, where a stone was taken, and someone would throw the stone very hard and you get knocked, you say, who threw the stone? He said, wait for a time where things will be thrown, qadhaf. When the first masails were created and scholars looked at that masail, they said, this is qadhaf. Something that is shot and how it hits its target. But it wasn't going to stop. The world will see qadhaf in big numbers. Masails and drones. And every day something will be just coming from the skies. When the qadhaf was going to be something thrown, and masakh would be something created, then even zalzalas and earthquakes and floods, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the fitan of Dajjal. He even spoke about the control of the weather. Every day in the news you will hear about what they will say, that we need to lift up the temperature, top the temperature. They will say millions, billions must be given by the world. We want to play with the temperature of the world. We are living today in times where everyone will say, hey, the weather is not what it was once before. Suddenly there's a flood, then there's extreme heat, then there's extreme clothes, then there's a disaster. Allah save us all. But Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَارْتَقِبُوا. When you will notice these things, we saw it all already. The things that he said you will see, we saw it. And then he said, wait. When the most truthful of the people of the truth said, wait, it means we're going to see this also now. He said, wait for it. Allah save us all and save our brothers and sisters in the entire world. But when the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wait for something, it means it's going to happen. Where it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, every man must make dua. Allah, I ask you for afiyah. I don't want to be in that condition. And as soon as someone gets knocked with that condition, I must be the one that runs. I must be the one to help him out immediately. My Nabi said it's going to happen. I must be ready. Irtiqab means wait. You don't ever tell someone wait for problems. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said wait, it meant be prepared. Be prepared. I have to be prepared in my own life, in the life of my wife and my children. And I must be prepared to be able to help the rest of the world also. Because as these things are happening and going to happen, qadhaf, there's going to be wars. When the war will stop, it's going to be the end. There could be another war. It could be Syria tomorrow, it's already Syria. It could be Iraq tomorrow, it's already Iraq. It could be the lands very close to me, it could be my own land. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the time when the Muslim Ummah will stand up. But against the Muslim Ummah, the whole world will come. At that time, how many bombs will be coming? How many missiles will be coming? At that time, how much of qadhaf will be taking place? Children will be born because of the battle, because of the war, because of the bomb. You will meet a person whose body might not look like a normal body. Who will be there to help the person, to give him a hand up? Allah make us, in His kindness, He always gave us the chance that we could be the helping hand. We never had to be the receiving hand. Allah in His kindness, we know how weak we are. But let us always be the one giving. Don't ever say problems in the world, I'm tired of these problems. How much I'm going to help? I already sent there. He said, irtiqab, be prepared, wait, things are going to happen. Many of these things could be natural, many of them could be created. Allah has placed in the hands of the shaitani world also certain powers. And with their evil, they make their makr, their plans. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. Almighty Allah says, وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. Some of their plans are so terrible that it can even make the mountain move. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. That even the mountain can move with some of their plans. But they said, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. But remember, Allah's plan is supreme. There's a plan above it all. When these things will however happen, and that's how it moves towards the end. At that time, irtiqab means be prepared. Everyone has to be prepared. He said, at that time, wa ayatin, many signs you are going to see. It will follow one after the other. Kanidhamin, qutiya silkuhu, that there was example that necklace, and then someone just cut that thread. And then you saw the first bead falling. When the bead fell, and then either it broke, or it got dirty, or it flew in the mud, and the mother or the wife said, my bead. He said, forget your bead, another one is coming, because it's cut. And you're just diving to save the second one, and another one is falling. Then you say, be prepared. Be prepared for what? That your beads have to fall. If you are prepared for the beads falling, how you prepare for it? You prepare for it with deen. We have to be ready that if difficulties have to come, it will not be one bead falling where our heart is. And you say, I lost so much. You say, be ready, you might lose another one also. But will you lose your iman or not? A woman was seen in the past. Someone looked at her and said, your face shows the life of a woman who has never seen difficulties ever in life. So the woman kept quiet for a while and she says, I don't think I can meet someone who has seen what I saw. She says, you know, my husband slaughtered a goat. After slaughtering the goat, my young child and the elder son said to my younger son, that let me show you how daddy slaughtered the goat. So he pulled out the knife and he slaughtered. I came there and I saw. I said, what are you doing? He looked at me and he realized, what did I do? So he ran. He just ran. Where he ran, who knows? My husband came back. He saw my one child. I told him, where's the other? He said, he ran. He was so scared. He said, where he ran? In the mountains. He said, my husband went looking for him. When he went there, he was attacked by some wild animal. My husband never came back. That second son never came back. The first son, I saw him bleeding in front of me. It was only me and my baby. I left the baby there at the front of the porch. And while I was busy with something, the baby went towards the pot. And the pot fell on the baby. And then I'm standing here and I saw I lost my whole family. So the man said, but your face doesn't show it. This person said, your face doesn't show it. So the woman replied that, after studying the difference between the people of sabr and no sabr, I realized what the difference there is between the two. I decided to take the path of the people of patience. After studying the difference between the people of patience and no patience, me and you got no patience. That's why a small issue happens and where we go up in flames. So after studying the condition of the people of patience and no patience, if a person visits Turkey now, Syria now, what they have gone through. Amazing, but Allah has given some of these people hearts of iman. If you go to the person and you just give them some help, when they take that thing, they'll hug you and say, we thank you, where are you coming from? South Africa. And when you ask the person, are you okay? He says, yeah, my whole family I lost. But I really appreciate your help. You wonder how you can even be smiling. I lost my whole family, but he'll say, but they died with Shahada. So to be prepared, are me and you prepared? Exams have to come. He said, when the thing will be cut, the beads have to fall. Allah's system. So the surah that we were going to discuss was going to be based on this. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ Almighty Allah says, have you seen the condition that doesn't believe in this Islam? Have you seen the condition of the one who don't believe in this deen? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي And as we are going towards the ending, unfortunately in our own circles, how we found in the Christian world in the past that the man say, I'm Christian by name, but I don't believe what the church says. And you never blame that man because the church spoke so much lies, but Islam never ever spoke a lie. But the time will come and we're finding that time where that Muslim boy, that Muslim girl says, my name is Fatima Ahmed. But you know, a lot of the stories that you say, it just doesn't. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ Allah says, have you seen the condition of the one who doesn't believe in this deen? Not speaking of the non-Muslim, because the surah will speak about salah. Speaking about the Muslim, you say, did you see the condition of the one who's Muslim but he doesn't believe? فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ That is that one who got no time for anyone else but himself. The orphan who's the most deserving of help. But he says to the orphan, what I must do if your father dies? And when the miskeen just needs a little food, وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ He himself can't take out a few rands to say there's an orphan. In the rest of the world, there's a lot of orphans. At the present moment, after this earthquake, how many there are? How many miskeens there are? Miskeen means maskana. Maskana means that me, I am completely humble because I got nothing to put me up in the world. I'll just look at you and whatever you give me, I'm yours like. That's maskana. That maskana, that miskeen needs so much of help, but this man is so worried of his life. He will not even give targheeb to his family. He's so busy when he's sitting in his groups. They're only talking about how to make more money. No one's going to speak about how to spend money. So he's not going to speak about, you heard there was a problem that said, well, I heard enough problems already. He said, no, I'm telling you, let's put 5 rand there. Let's put 25 rand there. The world was not going to be hard, that to send money today was, how am I going to go there? That same phone, all you have to do, just go onto one group. Just say, make a donation, and the 20 rand's gone. 100 rand gone. But he wasn't going to show them that. If he was going to send messages, it was going to be unique things happening. It was going to be entertainment. وَلَا يَحُدُّ He was not going to give targheeb to anyone to help the miskin. If anyone got WhatsApps, and if you're very good on groups, and you love to send out, and whole life you've sent enough rubbish, let us try and change one. Let's start sending to ourselves and to others. Encouragement to spend where money has to be spent. And it's very easy also, but never ever be the man who just speaks and you can't spend yourself. Before sending it out, make sure you yourself make a donation. And then tell your family members, lot of money Allah has given us, and exams are going to come. Instead of being the receiving hand, let us ask Allah, keep us in that condition, I can be giving the giving hand. وَلَا يَحُدُّ He does not even encourage to spend on the man who got nothing by him. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ Allah says, who am I speaking about? He said, I am speaking about the one who is a musalli, a man who grew up in salah. He learned how to perform salah. He's a musalli. He went to the maktab. He learned the laws of wuzu, the laws of salah. He's been reading Fala Salah for years, that's why you call him a musalli. But suddenly, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ That man, that now he finds his interest for Salah is getting less by the day. I remember when I was small, I used to read my Salah. At that time, the Imam would say, don't bring the child, he's too young. But the child said, Daddy, please take me masjid, I want to go. But suddenly when I became 25, now the Imam is saying, please come to the masjid. And I say, Fajr is too early. An salatihim sahun. Allah said, I'm speaking about him. He was a musalli. He grew up in salah, not the non-Muslim. Now he doesn't even believe in this deen anymore. Now day by day he's becoming lazier and lazier from salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ This man, his entire mission as a Muslim is to show off. If he has to do anything in Islam also, it will be just to show others. If there has to be a function, he say, I'll give money, but are you going to put my name there on that? If he has to go somewhere, he say, please take a picture of me. Anything he has to do, it has to be, I must be known. If there's no known, there's no picture, then I'm not in that place. Say, how are we going to distribute you? Where's the pictures? Where's the cameras? Take a picture of me. If they have to do anything, it has to be shown. If there is no show, you say, I'm not coming for this. This is like a dead thing. يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ And when someone needs basic help necessities, at that time the man says, you know me, I've got my own problems. Somebody is crying for milk one side. Somebody is crying for basic anything to sanitize them, to clean them, to help them. They're dying in front of the person. And the world has become like that, what we call a global village. If someone is suffering in another part of the world, he's a Muslim brother or sister. And I know it's happening. But at the moment I say, end of the month, I need to still pay that installment, man. So I haven't got money to send him a glass of milk. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ Allah made it such charity, never has to be given in millions. But he made it that gives some charity. When that sum becomes very hard, then me and you have entered the surah. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي Have you seen that individual who doesn't really believe in Islam anymore? He's no interest in salah, and he's no interest in zakat, and he got no interest in letting go. Allah make all of us. He has always allowed us to be the givers instead of having to be the receivers. Allah in His kindness, let it always be that we don't have to go through exams and imtihanat, that our hand has to stretch out. We have to be the miskeen, waiting for somebody else to come and help us. Allah make it, the giving hand is always better than the taking hand, meaning it's the easier of the two. Now what has happened in Turkey, everyone is aware of it. What happens in the world, in the past, you needed someone to make the announcement. I remember when we were small, we used to run to the masjid, the imam would say whether tomorrow is Eid or not. Then the time came where the imam has to ask the people, is it Eid tomorrow? Because they got more technology than the poor imam. Today if something happens, the world knows about it. But when the world knows about it, what's our reaction to it? Are we prepared for these difficulties that are going to come on the Muslim world? Prepared means, have our lives been made such that whenever I hear of something, then I say, I'm also ready to go. I'm also ready to help. I have got Lord hands. I got Lord fingers. I kept little for this, little for that. Then man said, I'm ready. As for the man who's not ready, he said, how much must I give you? So you were never ready. The hadith said, فَرْتَقِبُوا. Be prepared. Things are going to happen in the Muslim world so that it can lead to its peak. Going towards its peak, me and you must be helping in that push. Climbing a mountain at the ending is not easy. Because when you're coming to the top of the mountain, you will see it starts getting very steep. That's what the Ummah is at the moment. We are on a very steep climb. At that steep place, some people will also fall. Others will get very worried. Me and you want Islam to reach that top. But for it to be, there has to be that few parts of what is called very dangerous, very difficult. And once Islam goes through that, they're Mubarak to that Jamaat, to that people whose wealth and whose lives can be used in helping it to reach there. When it will reach the top, Islam itself will thank all the people, which Almighty Allah in Quran mentioned, when Almighty Allah said, Man Ansari, when the Nabi of Allah said, Man Ansari ilallah, who will help me? The Nabi said, but then Almighty Allah in Quran to this ummah said, Kunu Ansar Allah. You be the helpers of Allah. What a word that was. You be the helpers of Allah. Allah Tabarakala in His kindness give us all the honor. Islam is going to reach that peak. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a position has been written for me known as what is called Maqam-e-Mahmood. He said, but you help me to reach it. He said, you help me reach it. He said, on the day of Jummah especially, lot of salawat upon me. Allahumma salli. He said, that position has been written and I have hope it's for me. He said, you help me. Islam has also been given its position. It's going to reach where it has to reach. What an honor it was. You want to help, I want to help. May Allah Tabarakala make us all the helpers of Islam. May Allah Tabarakala make it easy for all of our Muslim brothers and sisters, wherever they are in the world. May Allah Tabarakala allow my hand and your hand to be the giving hand. And Allah in His kindness, never let our hands become the receiving hands. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.